Perhaps you and I are a little puzzled this morning, puzzled by what we are to make of this short, intriguing story of a young man who lost the head of his axe and then had it miraculously restored to him. How are we to come to such a story? What is its message to us? It seems so unusual, so simple, so short. How are we to approach it? Some people come to this story and they say there must be more to this than meets the eye. This cannot simply be about a man losing the head of his axe in the River Jordan and then having it restored miraculously. And so they treat the story as an allegory. They say the axe head, that must represent man. And the river and the axe head falling into the river must mean that man is lost in his sin. And the axe head being raised up again must mean that man is rescued from his sin and is then made useful and can live a useful, upright life. And they treat the story as an allegory. And it sounds most intriguing and attractive to do that, because those are true things. Man is lost in sin. He cannot save himself. He must be delivered from his sin if he's ever going to have eternal life. It sounds most intriguing and appealing. But is that the way to read this story? Well, there is no warrant whatever for suggesting that it is. And no matter how intriguing and fascinating, this is not the way to read this story. It is not an allegory. It is literally true. The axe head was an axe head. It did fall into the river. It was a river. It was raised up only by a miracle. And the man was relieved to hold once again in his hand the axe head which he thought he'd lost forever. So what are we to learn from such a story? Other people will immediately say there must be some practical applications from this story which I am to take and put into practice in my life. And they look at the story primarily from the point of view of finding some practical application. And again, that's appealing because the Bible calls us to practical godliness. And we are to apply in practical ways the Word of God to our lives. We want to know how to live godly lives. But is that primarily how to look at this story? We could make lots of interesting applications, couldn't we, if you think about it, from this story. But is that what we are primarily to do? One writer, I think, will gain our attention, and we will agree with his conclusion when he says, is not the Bible fundamentally speaking to us about our God? It is making him known. He speaks to us in his word and makes himself known. And when we come to the Bible, we are to learn of him. And when we learn of him, then we are moved to worship, to praise, and to wonder. And when we learn of him, then we come to trust him, for he is trustworthy. And when we learn of him, we come to love him and to keep his commandments. So let's come to the story in that way, to learn of our God. And we learn, don't we, in this simple, brief, intriguing story, that he cares for us. Though he is on high, yet he regards the lowly. He is caring for every one of his children in every circumstance of their lives, however minute and insignificant that circumstance may appear to be. What a wonderful and marvelous thing to learn, isn't it? To be renewed in our hearing of that this morning, that God is concerned for every tiny detail of your life and mine, even when we lose an axe head. Let's notice, first of all, that he is able to care for his people. It looked initially as if nothing could be done. The young man raises a kind of lament for the lost accent. Oh, it is lost. And it was borrowed. And he's faced with the prospect of having to go with his head bowed down and make an apology and perhaps do his very best to repay the man for the loss of the accent. And he won't be able to do what he's been doing before. He won't be able to engage in the work in the way he's been doing it before, because he's lost his axe head. But by God's power, the situation is totally transformed, and the axe head is restored. The man is relieved. He's able to get back to his work. He has learned that God is able to care for him. He has the power to do so. The fact that an axe head is heavy and made of iron and can't possibly float in water is no hindrance to God. He has made the water. He rules over it. It does his bidding. And so he uses Elisha to bring this axe head from the depths of the River Jordan floating to the surface, because he is able and can do far beyond what we ask or think. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He asked Abraham. Do not ever doubt that, Abraham. God is able to care for his people, and no circumstance is too difficult for him. Let that bring us comfort this morning. Whatever your present need may be, he is able to meet all that need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. If you know him, if through faith in Christ you have come to know him as your heavenly Father, then he knows your need, and he is caring for you, and he is able to care for you. This miracle, like the others we've noticed in Elisha, is immediate, but it's also pointing forward. The young man must have been very frustrated. The axe head flew off into the water. He's lost it. His work is interrupted. It seems that he'll not be able to do what he wanted to do. He's experienced a very definite setback in his work. And work is like that, isn't it? We find that. We never are able to do all that we'd like to do. We find we're frustrated in many ways, and we're hindered in much that we set out to do. But one day, it will not be like that. One day there will be no frustrations, nor any hindrance. We will serve the Lord with gladness and with unbroken, unwavering joy. He is able to care for us. Secondly, he is wise as he cares for us. It would be easy to become taken up with the axe head and miss the other details of this story. The axe head seems to dominate, but let's not miss the other details of the story. The sons of the prophets needed enlarged premises. That's a good sign, isn't it? they needed a bigger building. A new building was in order, and the principal, Elisha, gave them permission to embark on this building project. A suitable location is identified, plans are drawn, they're ready to get to work, they've gathered all their necessary equipment together, and they're setting off to this building project. And it seems then at just the last moment, as almost a little aside, one of them says to Elisha, "Will you come with us?" And Elisha says, "I'll come." And it seems like a little aside, but it was a good request, wasn't it? It will be good for these men to have Elisha with them. He is the man of God. He brings God's word. And it will be good to have him because his advice will always be wise and valuable, and he will be able to speak to them from God's truth. But the young man making the request couldn't have known just how good Elisha's presence would prove to be. Because when the crisis arose and the axe head was lost, they could immediately turn to Elisha, to the man of God. One writer suggests that here in this simple detail, there is evidence of God's wise providence. He was preparing the way beforehand for what he knew the need would be. Because in caring for his people, God acts with infinite wisdom. And when the need arose, God's provision in the person of Elisha was already in place. Someone has written, "There are circumstances God often arranges before we ever know we'll need them. Our God is full of wisdom and knows the end from the beginning, and in wisdom is caring for his people." I have permission this morning to illustrate that from the experience of one of our former elders, the late Tom Warnock. Tom's father was a minister at a time when the salary which ministers received was very, very small, and it was paid quarterly. So this little amount of money had to be stretched over 3 months. And that must have been extremely difficult. And one Lord's Day, the Warnock family were sitting at their lunch, and Mr. Warnock Sr. knew that the cupboard was bare, that there was nothing literally for breakfast or any meal next week. He prayed the Lord would provide them with food. Monday morning, when they got up, the mail arrived and landed on the mat at the door. And in one of the letters, there was a check, a gift which someone unsolicited had felt they wanted to send. And the Warnock family had food for the next week. And Tom used to tell us that as he reflected on that event from his childhood, it impressed on him the truth of God's word in Isaiah, "Before they call, I will answer." God knew what their need would be. And even before they were praying, the answer was on its way, because the check had obviously been sent before the Sabbath day, if it was to arrive on Monday morning. Our God is full of wisdom as he cares for his people. And maybe you can think this morning of times like that in your own life. Or maybe you can't, but if you can't, it still remains true that he is caring for you and is always doing it wisely. He is able to care for us. He is wise in caring for us. And thirdly, he delights to care for us. does the reaction of this young man to the loss of an axe head strike us as rather dramatic. He cries out, "Oh, what an awful thing." Is it overly dramatic? After all, it is only an axe head. Can he not next morning go to the local equivalent of Wardens and replace it with a new one? No, he can't. And that is exactly the point. He cannot. Iron is extremely rare at this time. In fact, in 1 Samuel, you may remember, we're told that there were no blacksmiths in Israel in those days. Producing an iron implement was a lengthy, laborious process, tremendously expensive. And the loss of a borrowed axe head was the equivalent, or comparable, as one writer says, to writing off your uncle's new car, which you had borrowed to go and visit in Belfast. The loss of the axe head was a real and urgent need. And that need could only be answered by the sovereign working of God's power. You see, no miracle that is performed in Scripture is ever unnecessary. This miracle was necessary to meet an urgent, pressing need which could not be met in any other way. And by restoring the axe head, God has delivered this young man from embarrassment, from the almost impossible task of trying to raise enough money to repay the owner. And as one writer says, part of God's greatness appears in the fact that he does attend to the small problems, the individual needs, the mundane and ordinary affairs of the believer's life. He bows down to help. Isn't that a wonder? The same writer recounts an anecdote about William Gladstone, the former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. In the vicinity of Parliament, there was a man whose job was to sweep the streets clean. And every day, there he was, as members of Parliament went in and out, sweeping the streets clean. One day he wasn't there, and a Christian worker in London discovered that he wasn't there and that something must be wrong, and he found out the man's address and he went to visit him to the top of a tall building, a little attic room, a very simply furnished little attic room, and the man was lying in bed ill. The Christian worker sat beside him on a little stool and he said, "Is it not awfully lonely? Are you not awfully lonely? Does anyone ever come to see you?" "Well," he said, "Mr. Gladstone has been to see me." And the Christian worker was totally amazed. He said, "Do you mean Mr. Gladstone, the Prime Minister?" And the man says, "Yes. Mr. Gladstone, the Prime Minister, sat on that stool and read the Bible to me." And Mr. Gladstone, whose diary was full of all kinds of state responsibilities, had taken time to climb the stairs to this little attic room and read the Bible to a street sweeper who was ill. And we say, isn't that amazing condescension? But it doesn't compare with how the Lord deals with us. He rules heaven and earth. The heaven is his throne, the earth his footstool. He puts down one, he raises another. He overrules the affairs of nations. He governs in all eternity. From age to age, his plan is being accomplished. He is dealing with presidents and great people and important events. But also, isn't this the wonder? Also, with a man who's lost his axe head. And with lesser details of the lives of little people like you and me. And does that not move us to worship? The very hairs of your head are numbered. Let's never be too proud to bring our most mundane problems to His throne of grace. And don't ever think that it's never serious enough to bring to Him. It's only an axe head. It's fallen in the water. Are you not overwhelmed to know that the God in whom you trust is like that? He is concerned for the tiny, inconsequential details of your life and mine. So cast all your care on Him, because He is caring for you. He is able to care for us. He is wise in His care of us. And He delights to care for us. So it is practical, isn't it? Because it brings us to worship. And it brings us to praise, and it brings us to thanksgiving. And it moves us to evangelize, because we look at our friends and our neighbors and our families and we say, oh, that you might know Him. That you might come to know God as your Father. And that you might live with this wonderful assurance that He cares for everything in your life. Will you not trust in His Son and come to know Him? But it brings us also this morning to trust with confidence in Him. Because if He will not let an unnamed prophet lose an axe head, He certainly won't lose me when I put my trust in Him. I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that He is able to keep that which I commit to Him against that day. Amen.